Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Question of the day for you.
Yes.
Would you call yourself a calculating person?
Good question. Calculating in English, you know, is a heavy word. It can be...
Tell me more.
Calculating sometimes, I'd even say often, is used in a negative way to someone who is looking to manipulate a situation or manipulate someone else.
Is that the only
calculating?
Well, that's part of why I was asking.
So we'd rather use maybe a different word. So rather than calculating...
Are you a strategic?
Strategic would
strategic,
be...
Strategic, sorry.
Yeah, see, the non-English speaker got the right word. That's
well, this happened
word.
Before. We had a bit of a break, and we're talking about rabbit holes, and we have a history of language question here. Father Ricardo thinks that it comes from Alice in Wonderland, and Father Philip didn't know this, so I'm surprised.
I'm not disagreeing. I thought it was just a rabbit hole. I was just thinking of a traditional rabbit hole. We were talking about hobbies, and you get into there, and it just can be endless money and endless energy.
And Father Ricardo contends that this comes from Alice in Wonderland. So maybe somebody can help us and tell us.
Let us know if you know a little bit more officially.
Wouldn't
it be
amazing that the accented guy from Spain would tell you where an expression comes? No.
When you explained it from Alice in Wonderland, actually it sounds better than my example.
Anyway, two guys and a gospel. The one speaking, Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Ugacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We're now the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 8th. We're moving along here in this school year and starting to slowly move into fall. What is the gospel that I'm going to read then?
We are reading from Luke's gospel, as we've been reading all this cycle C of readings. Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53, which actually is one of these few times where we are going backwards. We read chapter 14 last week. We're reading chapter 12 today.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation, and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple.
Now you know why I asked you if you were a calculating, strategic person. Jesus seems to say that that's what we need to be.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to what I said last week. Look at the Gospels coming up. They're from this area of Luke's Gospel. What you're going to see in the next few weeks are a couple of situations where Jesus basically challenges us to be prudent, mm-hmm. kind of to be prudent with the situation at hand and to do what's necessary to kind of deal with that as it concerns especially wealth and our resources. But it lines up with what you're saying. I think Jesus is saying that here as well. Just like calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion. There's just a lot of discernment and a lot of prudence that's going into what Jesus is saying right now as we live the life of discipleship. and I'd say, reminder that discipleship is a very active lived out life. Mm-hmm. It's not just kind of a part of us, but it's meant to really encompass your whole life. And Jesus makes it pretty clear in the first part of the gospel here.
The first part of the gospel where there is a bit of an anachronism. Do you see it? Take up your cross.
Yeah.
This is written years after, two generations after Jesus dies on the cross, but taking up your cross would be like that cup of coffee in the Game of Thrones episode that we discussed months ago.
Yeah.
Take up the cross when the cross became a symbol afterwards. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I believe the first part is Jesus turns around because too many people are following him, and he says, there is a price to following me, to being a disciple. So he's wondering, how can I be so popular? As we discussed last week, would Jesus be a popular pastor when his message is a strong one, is a difficult one? And maybe what you said also gives us an idea about the... You remember when we were discussing the series for this month? Maybe prudence would be a good title, or discerning prudence. How to be prudent, and at the same time, the gospel calls us to a kind of foolishness that Jesus seems to nuance here a little bit. It's an interesting take.
I agree with you. And I think that's going to come up again over the next few weeks. It's very clear right here, the construction of the tower or the king marching into battle. Yeah, it's just a sense of active prudence. There, of course, in the very beginning is that challenging word in English, I might emphasize, hating. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Let's just remember, you know, again, like calculating, hating carries connotations and sort of an understanding in English. What Jesus is saying here, of course, though, is discipleship has to take first place. And mm-hmm. everything else, even your own life and your own desires, has to be second place if you want to follow me. Mm-hmm. It takes a special kind of intention and a special mm-hmm. kind of will, but also something that's for everybody. Mm-hmm. So being a disciple, it's not for the strong, it's not for the smart, it's not for a special kind of person. It's for everyone, something that everyone can do. But we've got to make those choices as to what comes first. And
there is
comes
a,
first.
Yeah, there is a cost. There is a book by this Lutheran theologian, Bonhoeffer. I always mispronounce his...
Bonhoeffer is
yes.
the way I sometimes
the
say
cost, The
name.
Cost of Discipleship is one of his books, and he explains this very well. There is a cost to discipleship, and then he makes it very clear that it's not the rules, it's not the cost of following rules. Actually, he puts the people of the rules as an example of people avoiding the cost of discipleship, which is a very interesting take. Let me challenge you with something that is coming to my mind. The great advances in society or great pastors, if we are looking at our profession, for great things to happen, you have to have a degree of foolishness, of lack of prudence, because if you are too prudent, then you wouldn't do anything. This gospel challenges me a little bit, because how many times great things happen when you stop calculating the risks and you say, let's go and do it. You know, when you don't have all the evidence or all the money to do something and you say, let's do it anyway.
So
how would you react to this?
I think there's a little bit of both realities going on. And I think Jesus, in fact, is addressing that. So first of all, if you wish to construct a tower, well, that's a big deal. So, I mean, that's maybe the foolishness that's involved. But then also the prudence in doing this, or marching into battle. That's the big thing. And then the prudence of how you're going to get that done. So I read a really excellent book this last spring. It's called On Grand Strategy by a professor. I forget if it was Princeton or Yale, but he teaches this class basically on how big things get done, particularly militarily, but in other areas. But he said, it's all about sticking to that true north. But it's both of those things, being bold, but also making course corrections mm-hmm. and being prudent. That's exactly what's happening here, is big things happening, but also course corrections.
Say the title again. I don't know.
It's called On Grand Strategy, and I've forgotten the name of the author. Mm-hmm. Really, just a very good book. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner, I think, from another book that he's written,
good.
But really appreciated this. But he has got a number of good examples there, including scriptural references. It's not abundance, but they're in the book.
The other challenging question I have is that, as you know, part of my... We were talking about hobbies today at the break. Hobbies are about yourself. And when Jesus says, hate your life, and for instance, you know, I do hiking. And for me, I couldn't go with someone hiking. I don't know how that would work. I would be totally uncomfortable. For me, hiking is 5-6 hours, especially in winter, where you don't see anybody, you don't talk to anybody, you are thinking, you process things, you know, it's a great place for me to meditate and everything. But am I loving my life instead of hating it? You know what I'm trying to say here? That's another challenge from Jesus. I believe that's my biggest spiritual problem. I'm in love with my life.
Sure.
I think that's a legitimate challenge. And you run into this when, in a different context, when people reach the end of their life, they're in hospice, and there's a real stress there with, am I giving up at a certain point, or what do I fight, or what am I praying for, is really the question that comes to our doorstep. There's another point of tension here regarding relationships, and I've run into this a few times lately, so it's been on my mind, but people asking very legitimately, who is my first priority in my life? So it's God, of course, but then after that, is it my new child or my wife? And
I think the church answers to that one, though. What would you say?
Well, give me your answer.
I think there is a priority.
I've heard different interpretations.
Spouse over children, I would think.
All right.
Which is the contrary of what we were talking about this at the break also. We both have schools.
And of course, it's never either or. It's both. But, you know, if there's one choice or this, here's another example. Sometimes a child who has particular needs, whether it be emotional or physical, what priority is there compared to the other kids? And there's a stress. But there's real stresses in these relationships. And I think we think about this more than we want, but we don't want to put words to it because it's scary. To say, you never want to sort of say one person has priority over another in my life, but it is in our mind.
But then life happens, and sometimes the priority stops being a theoretical question and it becomes a real one. Then what do you do? Mm-hmm. If you've thought about it with courage, if you take the 5 hours of hiking by yourself and you think about these crazy things, maybe the day they happen, you are more ready.
Right. I think it just takes a real trust. I mean, to follow Jesus in this unconditional way that he's asking, and to sort through sort of where the priorities are in our life. It'd be relationships, our time, our relationship to ourselves. But as I was kind of thinking about this and praying over this, I was reminded this doesn't happen overnight. You know, this takes a whole lifetime. Hopefully it doesn't for most of us, but it takes a lifetime to sort of understand this and to live this out and live out this real trust. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of, you must put your own life secondary to Jesus Christ and your relationships. Don't be afraid. We move into discipleship. You said that a different way a while ago, but we sort of, you know, discipleship is kind of like a process we see in the scriptures with the first apostles and disciples.
What I see in this gospel that is a fascinating one as it's opening this interesting, once again, examples of creative tension, right?
Yeah.
Even the tension between spouse or children, or the tension between being prudent but being a dreamer also and deciding to build the tower. Mm-hmm. How many times we find this tension in our Catholic faith, the tension between earth and heaven, the tension between my relationship with God and my relationship with others. It's creative tension. Assuming that tension and being able to process it as mature Christians is a great spiritual source.
It is. When I came to understand that at a younger age, it was maybe some point in seminary, that was a big moment to say, this is Catholicism. It's a series of creative tension of some areas where it's not a yes or no, but it's both. We need to understand that as Catholics. And I don't know if that's for everybody. I think some people would really struggle with that. Me, as a Western person, a practical person, I have an accounting background. I want one way or another. I want a system that's very clear. This goes to last week I mentioned a soundbite doesn't quite capture the answer to some of these things, and that's true here as well.
Soundbites, there are attempts to simplify life when life is complex. I think you gave me the title for the series, though.
Oh.
How did you call it? What did you say? It was great.
Well, it wasn't a title, but
you could go through all these gospels in these weekends and identify the tension. The tension between Jesus and family would be today, between prudence and dreaming and foolishness would be today also. Last week, between humility but being strong.
Right.
There is a tension in each gospel, and how do we solve it?
And there are more of those coming up over the next few weeks. So, yeah.
So maybe we have the title, finally. And again, we are recording way in advance. I don't want my parishioners to think that we come up with these ideas like 3 days before we start a series. We try to give it some thought.
Right, exactly.
And this is months before this.
So there's a lot here, and again, a lot coming up in the next number of Gospels. The warning that I gave last week, they can be kind of heavy. They're challenging in a good way. They're heavy and they're challenging and speak of our resourcefulness and what God has given to us.
Mm-hmm. Enough for today, I think.
Yeah. And then look for Mass this coming weekend for your local parish. Check their website for the times. If you're looking for a national website, masstimes.org is pretty helpful. And then here in the Archdiocese Diocese of Milwaukee, check out our website, archmill.org, with not only parish information, but other good stuff to see and stuff to know.
See you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Take care.
This is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.